make a start. First item in the agenda, apologies.
Dealing with Patrick. Councillor Kinnan. That's it.
I have three items under Chairman's remarks. And the first one is, you know, as some of you who attended the excellent C3 information workshop yesterday evening will be aware that Katrina Hines, our Downpatrick-based PCSP officer, has secured the new post of DEA coordinator in Downpatrick. This, of course, means Katrina will be moving from the PCSP. The date to be confirmed. I know you will all join me in thanking her for her dedicated hard work addressing the community safety needs of our district residents and wishing her all the very best in her new role. She won't be a stranger by any means working to promote and develop the existing links between DEA and PCSP, and we look forward to working with her in her new capacity. And I would say good luck, Katrina, because I must have to say that the Downpatrick DEA are getting an excellent officer. I've worked with Katrina over the years from the OU Community Safety Partnership and other functions within the old Legacy Council. You know, you are getting an excellent officer who will take your DEA forward in a positive manner. And I really mean that what I'm saying. So it does. So, you know, you should look forward to working with her. The second one is, you may have heard in the national media that the end of the horse meat fraud case has resulted in custodial sentences for those involved. This case was taken by the City of London Police. However, environmental health staff within our own council were integral to the case in that it was our officers who made the initial discovery of the horse meat while carrying out an unrelated investigation. I would like to congratulate all those involved for their diligence and professionalism in carrying out this work, and in particular Sinead Murphy, Senior EHO, who led the investigation and was required to attend court in London last month as a critical prosecution witness. This case has reflected well on our officers and our ability to ensure that food fraud is tackled and also protect the large numbers of our food businesses who comply fully with the law. So, Sinead, well done. The third one is Mr. Aubrey Flanagan, who is one of the caretakers in Bessbrook Community Centre. He was involved in a one vehicle accident on the A1 the 18th of July, where he sustained serious upper body injuries. He was in intensive care for almost 2 weeks, but he has now improved enough to be moved to the main ward in the Royal Victoria Hospital. Myself, as chair of this committee, and the rest of us as councillors, would like to send him their best wishes for a full recovery, and if we could ask that a letter goes to Mr. Flanagan, it would be very much appreciated. Yes, the director has advised me that we're going to organise a visit to the Newry Leisure Centre Phase 2, isn't it? Phase 2, for all committee members and any other councillor that wants to attend. Maybe don't have a date at the minute, but you will get an email or correspondence in relation to that there. So I'd ask you to take up the opportunity to go and see the excellent work that's been carried out in Phase 2 of Newry Leisure Centre. Item 2. Anyone have any declarations of interest?
Sure. So, in regards to item 8, depending on how the conversations go, I think it's more just for updates, but if we make any sort of financial decisions regarding Castleman Community Centre, I'll step out of the room at that stage.
Okay.
Action sheet from our meeting held on the 19th of June. We'll go through them page by page. Page 1. Page 2.
I don't need that.
Page 3. Page 4.
Chair. Listening to Disability Sports Hub, first of all, I welcome the work that is in progress in relation to the development of this Disability Sports Development Plan for 2017-19 and to set up Disability Sports Hub in relation to Disability Sport NI. Brilliant news, but also in relation to our new build in Newry and in Down Patrick. I have been contacted by the father of a young fella who is severely disabled in my constituency in relation to the proposed new facilities, and the fact is that other leisure facilities around the country have got state-of-the-art rooms and changing suites and shower units and everything for people with disabilities, and I'm sure that is incorporated into the design of our new builds. And I was asked by the gentleman a question, could I raise that at the next council meeting in relation to those facilities in Down Patrick and Newry? So thank you very much.
Just to members aware that that is the case, within Newry you have a changing places facility in phase 1, and you'll have another one in phase 2, and in the new Down Leisure Centre you also have a changing places facility.
Page 5.
Yes, Jeremy, again. In relation to McMillan Cancer Support, I do welcome again the decision that was agreed to submit the application letter of support to the McMillan Move More project. And I think more or less it's a very, very worthwhile cause. I know there's been a lot of fundraising done over the past few weeks and months for coffee mornings and free of the shaves and all. And I think it's more or less it's very, very good that our council's getting involved with McMillan and also with other organisations who operate such an excellent service for people who need them. So maybe it's an opportunity as well as McMillan. Again, brilliant organisation along with Marie Curie and many, many others. And I think we, as a council, we should be reaching out more to work with and to commit a service to the people that they champion. But again, I welcome that application and letter of support.
Page 6, same. Page 7. Page 8. Page 9. Page 10. Page 11. Page 12. Page 13. Item 4. Advanced payments for SLAs, and Janine will take this.
Yes, Chair. As members are aware, we have a number of agreements in place in relation to our community centres, some service level agreements and some facility management agreements, and the terms of those and the amounts allocated to each community centre have already been agreed. This paper is requesting permission from the committee to allow us to advance up to 50% of those agreed payments to ease cash flow problems for the groups that are running the centres. So in other words, be able to allow them to pay their oil bill when it comes in, as opposed to waiting for us to recoup this expenditure.
Right. Proposed by Councillor Doran. Second by Councillor Traynor. All in agreement?
Item 5, the financial assistance, call 2 update and call 3 request for approval. Janine will take this one as well.
Chair, this is the financial assistance report giving members details of the successful applications in call 2, and that related to themes under Christmas illuminations, PCSP and good relations. members will see that initially there was an amount of £76,000 plus requested for Christmas illuminations. We carried out a value for money exercise and reduced that to £42,000. This is still over the original budget allocated by committee. So it's a proposal to move forward with this £42,000 commitment towards Christmas illuminations, with the knowledge that, as with previous years, not all of this money will be vouched or claimed back by the groups. The second part of the paper chair relates to approval we require for financial assistance call 3, and that will include a call for sports development and permission, if the committee are happy, to move to an early capital call. So this would be capital monies that would be for spend in the next financial year, and we're proposing bringing this forward so that we can get applications in, assess, score and make awards which can be drawn down immediately on the first day of the new financial year.
Thank you, Janine. Councillor Burns.
Yeah, Chair, I'm happy to propose a few wee footnotes if possible in regards to the illuminations. It'll probably come up under the DEAs at a later stage, but in our Slieve Club DEA, it's the only area that doesn't have a paid for by council Christmas tree. And the biggest centre of population in Castle Island, the group that draw down the money has said that they're unable to run a Christmas tree event and put a Christmas tree up at the money that they can bring down. I don't want that to stop what we're doing in all the other areas in any shape or form. That's what I'm proposing as that it is. But what I asked, maybe the officers could have a look and see if there's something they can do in that regard for if this year's too soon, then next year after that, just keep that as a work in progress. I think on a better tone, the bringing forward of the financial assistance call 3 for capital, in particular sports development, is an excellent idea. Totally in favour of the last time we were massively oversubscribed with sports clubs who are ready to do work. It's great to see. It is a match funding project, and just on that, we made recommendations coming off the last capital call where we said we were going to use the in-kind contribution the sports clubs are able to provide, so they don't have to find exact 50-50% match funding in regards to cash, that they can use their own staff and their own bricklayers, their own plumbers, and that stuff is able to be used to match fund against our council capital. I presume that the capital 3, if we're opening up a new call, that will take that into consideration. I understand that it's very, very short term to get that rules and regulations written, but I presume that we can do that. But happy to propose.
In terms of the Christmas illuminations, this part of money doesn't relate to trees or illuminations, but there's a working group being set up to look at it, so I'll make sure that point is raised. The capital call, there was a paper brought to committee with a number of recommendations to make the capital call more user-friendly. We agreed, as part of that paper, to investigate the opportunity to use the works carried out by community associations as match funding. That hasn't gone ahead as yet and probably won't be in place for call 3 if it goes out around September time, but we'll look at it again so we can move it forward. Hopefully. It'll take us a bit of time. I'm not going to tell you something that I wouldn't stand over. It'll take us a bit of time to investigate what match funding will be relevant towards each project. But it'll not be ready for call 3 of this year. We definitely look to move forward next year.
Right. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. And again, looking at the paper, I welcome it. And at least it's good to see that a lot of different topics are being dealt with in the paper. And again, thanks to the officers for all the hard work and putting the paper together. And it's a good news story for communities and for the organisations and etc. that work amongst them. But just in relation to applications, and I know Janine probably you could be familiar with and other officers, is the language that's used in application forms. For example, it can be a maze to some organisations to complete an application form for a grant, say £1,000 or £500, and there's a whole, it's like writing an encyclopedia, and some of the language that would be used probably could be very off-putting and daunting, but maybe sort of the processes could be set up in place that form filling could be simpler and easier for groups to understand. Another concern that was raised in relation to community groups and clubs, whatever, is, example, organising a festival or event and having to stump up the money in advance and ending up maybe getting awarded the money, in some cases not getting, whereas at an early stage probably it could be simplified or speeded up, that at least groups and organisations know exactly where they stand. You know, that's just some of the concerns that we've picked up along the way, Janine, but you know, maybe they could be addressed. But I know in multiple applications, for example, the council probably has a record, a written constitution or statements or whatever, and then people have to submit the same document again, again and again. But maybe there's, I know it's early days, and as I say, just it's points that we pick up on the ground, and we'll be very grateful if it's been taken on board and considered. But again, thanks for all that you do.
Just on that, I tend to agree with Councillor Andrews in relation to the paperwork for it. Our DEA has raised concerns in relation to it, but I do welcome the fact that you have brought it sort of forward, which means that any group applying, for example, I had three groups that lost out because they were running things. Well, when I say I had three groups, groups within the Rowallan area that were running things over the Easter period, and they'd lost out because the call wasn't made, they hadn't made a decision, you know, and they'd done all that paperwork. And the stuff had to be paid, so it was paid, you know. So it was. So I welcome the fact that it has been brought forward, and it will start, say, at the start of the new financial year, which means them organisations that's maybe doing things in and around Easter holidays and whatever can apply, and they'll know one way or the other whether they're going to get it or not. So we all in agreement then?
Chair, if I may, just on the capital call, the sports development capital call. Just to make members aware, at this point we're not aware of the exact budget. That's why it says subject to budget. The proposal is that we will reallocate some of our capital budget that has been underspent in this year and next year towards that call. We will bring a report back to set out exactly how much that is, but it's just to give us approval to go ahead and put the advert in. We do have money, we're just not sure of the exact budget yet, but we'll bring that back to you. Okay.
All right, thank you. Item 6, the South Armagh South Down Peace Centre, and Janine will again take this one.
Chair, very briefly, this is a follow-on from the Peace Centre update that we provided at the last meeting. The application, the SEUPB for the Peace Centre, has been submitted. They have now asked us to move from outline plan information to full plan information. So we're requesting committee approval to do that. We have included all costs relating to the application as part of the application, so we're hoping in the future we may be able to recoup these costs, but at the minute we currently have no budget to cover any of the fees. So it's making members aware and asking for permission to move ahead with full plan permission.
Councillor Lappin.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I'm happy to propose that we accept the offer's recommendation and apply for full plan permission.
Thanks, I'm happy to second that. Just a quick question. Anybody any idea why it's costing £25,000 to put in that plan application?
It's just an estimation. It would also involve some consultancy fees that we require as part of the application filling in process, but it's only an estimation. We will bring back a final age report to committee with all of the costs, maybe for the next meeting.
Chair, if I could just emphasise the fact this is a project which is transferred to this committee, and it's transferred to my department from another department, so there is no budget for this, so I just want to emphasise the fact that this will result potentially in an overspend at the end of the year. However, as Janine has said, we have included all of these costs in the application. The question is then how many of these we'll get back. So we're hopeful we'll get them all back, but it may result in an overspend. So just as long as the committee's aware, because it has transferred to us from another committee. So.
Happy enough? Item 7. Cullyhanna Community Centre, and again Janine.
Yes, Chair, we're asking members to consider whether to replace the flooring in the main hall of Collyhanna Community Centre at a cost of approximately £11,000. This is to help the bowling group who have supported faults with the floor. We do have an allocation within our capital scheme for community centre repairs, so it wouldn't mean an overspend, it would be within existing budget.
Right, yeah, I'm happy to propose this. As both David and Kate know, this is something that has come up in our DEA for maybe the last year and a half, and it's probably come up with as many options as possible, and we've encouraged them to look about everything they could do, so it's eventually come before this committee, so I'm happy to propose.
All in agreement? Item 8, Social Investment Fund Capital Project Update. Janine again.
Chair, members, at present, Council are currently managing the rollout of a number of SIF projects. So, specifically, we have accepted a letter of offer for just over £1.6 million for projects relating to Downpatrick, Ballyhornan, and Kilcooley. We have also accepted a further letter of offer for the development of Castellan Community Centre for just over £500,000. Previously, the reports from the project board would have gone to a different council committee. As a result of restructuring, they'll now come before AHC. So it's to update members on developments within each of the projects going forward and ask for approval to continue to provide these update reports. And Chair, we've provided a copy of all of the minutes of the project boards that we have to date.
Could I have a proposal? Councillor Dorn. And who's second it? Councillor Traynor. All in agreement? Item 9. The DEA 4 update. Cortlave and Rewald. Janine again.
Final one from me, Chair. This is the monthly DEA 4 update outlining agreed actions in Rewald and Cortlave. So we're asking members to approve.
Councillor Andrews.
And the listing, just only be too happy to propose that these are an accurate record of what's happened. But in relation to Delmont, we recently hosted the World Skippies Hall, and everybody worked hard to make it such a huge success. So, again, well done. And well done to all the staff who worked so hard in council and our agencies.
Right, do we have a seconder? Councillor Dorn. Item 10, the lease of land for play area at Martin's Lane, Newry. That's all.
Yes, Chair. Members are asked to approve the renewal of the lease where the play park is currently situated. We have recently had this transfer again from another department, so there isn't a budget for the lease cost this year, so it would be an overspend. However, we're asking the committee to undertake that spend this year and also recommend that we add for the future years and that lease cost into the lease process as well.
Can I maybe ask a question? It's just, this is the second item now in this agenda where we've been told something that's been passed from another department, but we don't seem to have the budget been passed over as well. Can I ask what's going on or why this is the case? Sir? Okay.
Sure. I'd say, Councillor Taylor, right, and I would echo that concern as Chair. You know, there's a couple of items Councillor Taylor's alluded to there that has come with no budget. I think we should be asking, why are they coming with no budget? Because this department, come the end of the financial year, will end up having an overspend. And they'll be saying, well, why did directors maybe let it get to that state of overspend? But when you look at the bigger picture, we have been getting these through onto our lap. So we have, and no budget for it. We're having to find the money elsewhere. I don't think it's good enough. And I think we should be asking why And I would ask as chair that we ask why there is no budget that's coming along. Because it's not her and our officers from this department who do an excellent job. And I know they do an excellent job. So I do. That they've been straddled with this. So they are. And I think we need to know why there's no money coming with it. It's like a lot of things Stormont does. They give us a lot of things, but with no money. So they do. You take that on. You take control of this, that, and the other. But they don't send any money along with it. And that, I think it has to.
I think, Jerry, even if you could make reference to Stormont okay and all the issues there, but I think, you know, given that this is in-house, so it's like, you know, I would have assumed there would have been a budget allocation set aside for these two items in the former department that was dealing with this. And the question has to be asked, you know, of the chief executive or whoever has made this decision as to why this budget that was allocated, I assume, to the other department hasn't been passed over to this department to deal with these issues, and why we should have to be finding ourselves in a position coming to us in a year with maybe a possible significant overspend as a consequence of that, to be able to pass that money off.
Councillor Hart, did you want? Or do you want to propose that?
I'm sorry, I'm not making an issue of. No, Chair, I think as I said, I'm not making an issue in terms of the decisions that have been made, but I think it's unfair that we have been asked as a committee, you know, to be put in this position, and as you as a director to be put in this position as well, where obviously there was budgets allocated to these things and why they haven't been passed over to this department. I think that question needs to be asked and an explanation provided. So if the Chair's proposed it, I would certainly be happy to second that.
Quite happy to do that, Chair.
All right then, Councillors. Happy for the director to proceed. Item 11, Act of Ageing.
Yes, Chairman, again, members are asked to consider the report and approve that we enter into this service level agreement with the Trust. We see this as a positive. It will provide an additional bit of marketing, support, and training for us to help deliver these types of programmes which should be tailored to the older population. So we ask the members to give us approval to proceed on that basis.
Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. I do welcome this paper in relation to an active ageing programme to cater for residents in our district. I know a lot of us are living longer now, and please God. And as I said, it's good to see that some of the issues listed in 2.1 have been highlighted and identified. And I do hope that with this coming in, that they will be delivered right across the district and keeping in mind affordability, etc., for people who want to avail of it. But again, it's another step in the right direction. No, leading the campaign for a healthy, we don't have much room to talk about a healthier person, but more or less for a healthy and active community. So I'd be only too happy to propose that we go ahead with this provision of community services for the AIDS in our district. Thank you.
Councillor Quinn.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I'd like to second that proposal. And just to say that it's great to see the South Eastern Trust and this programme being rolled out across our entire council area. I think too often our electorate out there are finding that they're being played with the legacy councils, with one trust doing something in one area that doesn't travel right across our whole area. And I think this is good to see, and I hope we can create a similar relationship with the Southern Trust. Thank you.
All in agreement? Item 12, the Commonwealth Games, Queen's Barton. Rowan's taking this one.
Yes, Chair. Again, an opportunity has presented itself in the last month or so to help promote the district and sports facilities within the district. We've been contacted by the Commonwealth Games NI to offer the barn to be presented within one of our facilities. So we're proposing that we would undertake this at St Coleman's sports complex in Newry, where there's a running track there, and we'll hopefully get a bit of PR with the barn going around the track. I understand that there are people coming from different countries to help support us, and there'll be TV coverage and so on. So it's just really to make members aware of that and seek approval to continue.
Proposed, Chairman. Councillor Taylor, second. All in agreement?
Yeah, just a quick question. I just see that I think the deadline for this is going ahead on the 30th, is that right?
Yeah.
So there's going to be no opportunity for this here to get before full council. It's like something was sort of squeezed in last minute again. And there's going to be no full councillors across the numbers.
Unfortunately, just the way that it fell, Barry, it came in in July when there was no meetings for us to take it through, so this was the first opportunity to take it through. But I mean, we see very much as a positive, hopefully to showcase what we have in the district.
And Barry, as I stated earlier in the pre-meeting when we spoke about it, you know, it is a big plus, and the coverage that we likely will get in that, and I don't see no reason why, you know, if it's agreed by the committee that the director can't take that forward, you know, because I'm sure, you know, when it did come to full council, when it does come to full council, that, you know, hopefully everybody would have been in agreement anyway. And there's no cost to it.
Chair. That just brings back memories. So back to 2012 when the Olympic torch came through your district, especially with Sue Crosscar and all, and the fact is there was a lot of media in the area that, you know, it was showcased in the district as it was, and again, I see that as an opportunity of showcasing Newry more than dying. So that's not an opportunity to advertise the area.
So happy enough there. Item 13, Donaghy Reservoir Capital Works. Roland again.
Yes, John, we are seeking approval to essentially collapse the money that you have allocated into this project over three financial years, collapse it into 1 year. So it means we go for one single contract and one tender process. We should achieve better economies of scale by doing that. And it will obviously make the project be delivered quicker as well. So we're seeking approval. We spoke to the Director of Finance, Assistant Director of Finance, who's confirmed that that's fine, it's within your capital budget anyway. So it's just sort of moving it slightly to get it done quicker under one contract.
Councillor Quinn.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to propose this project, because I think shortening any contract down to a third of the time and getting this facility back out and open to the public, where there is a reduced risk to the public injuring themselves on a building site. So it should be nothing but a win-win for us as a council. Thank you.
You've heard proposed by Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Mr. Chairman. In relation to Donaghy, I think it's another good news story for those who use the reservoir for fishing and other sporting activities. So I don't want to be too happy to second this paper, but I'd also like to ask in relation to in our local area, the Coyle River is one of the most wonderful rivers in this part of the country, which has a lot of potential for fishermen, for sports, for water sport activities, for fishing, etc., and everything. And I believe it could be further enhanced. I know contact has been made with myself and Councillor Walker about the likes of attracting funding and grants, etc., for such a facility like the Coyle and Rivers and fishing clubs and all in my own Rowan area as well. And I would welcome, how can we advise the likes of clubs and associations, etc., how to access funds or grants to bring their waterways or bring their lakes, etc., up to a suitable standard to attract much needed funding for facilities that have been supplied to Donaghy. But again, I think it's good to see that investment has been put into a facility that's enjoyed by all.
You've heard it proposed and second. All in agreement?
Did you want an answer to that, Councillor Andrews?
Chair, the first thing to advise them of is obviously the Council's own financial assistance call every year, so they should apply to that under the sports grants. The sports grants going out now, I'm not sure if they'd be able to apply under that. The call that's going out in September.
Possible.
Yeah. So that's the first thing. There are council grants which they're going to apply to. And then, of course, the Department of Agriculture and Rural Development Programme would be the other course to look at. And the member will be aware that we have done quite a bit with the COIL in the Downpatrick area. I accept that probably out towards Rowellen there maybe hasn't been as much, and we probably need to redress that. I know that the Council's Access to the Countryside Officer has been looking at opening up paths down by the COIL, which would then allow us to look at fishing piers and things like that. So that's the first bit, but certainly if you want to talk to any of the officers in the department, we'd be happy to talk to you about potential projects that you may have in mind.
So as I say, I hear what Councillor Andrews is saying, and he is right. We actually had just a meeting this afternoon in relation to the COIL, and the big problem there is, I know it's not a council problem, we've been taking it up with the relevant authorities, is the fact that the seals are getting up in there and breaking all the fish, and nobody seems to be wanting to do anything about it. But as I say, you know, that's good to know that they can apply under the financial assistance. You know, some of these groups, you know, maybe don't know that, so we will relay that back to the groups, so we will, in relation to it. Item 14, the EBA 2020 partnerships.
Chair, members are asked to give approval to the report which details a slight change in the administration to deliver the same scheme. There won't be any change in the service which is delivered. It will be essentially one of the partners has requested that they take a step back from this project, but the responsibility essentially transfers onto another one of the existing partners. We still have to seek approval from Sport NI on this matter, but we're seeking this committee's approval first to then go back to Sport NI. We understand that Sport NI would be willing to accept this.
Anyone? Councillor Dorn, oppose it? And Councillor Barnes, second it? Item 15, the Sure Start South Armagh.
We're seeking approval to have discussions with Sure Start and with our incumbent lessee of this area in Bestwick to get hopefully a solution which would work where we can have a short term lease for Sure Start at this location, and hopefully we can work with the existing Holland Club as well to accommodate any of their future plans within any changes. This would have to be done in accordance with the Council's leasing policy for sports and community groups, so that this is within inside your policy, so we'll take approval that we progress this matter.
Councillor Lapra.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, could I request that a decision on this item on the agenda be postponed for a month and that Quiver are consulted prior to us making a decision? Quiver are a small hurling club and they have their playing facilities just adjacent to the site. And I'm aware that they have plans for expansion, so I would like to see some discussion taking place, first of all.
Well, if I can just clarify, I mean, we do, within the recommendations we have said, that subject to Crave Rail being consulted in regard to their own sports proposal for developing a hurling wall on this site, that we'd be working with them to get a solution to watch everyone before we could actually get a finalised solution. So if we can proceed with that and then bring back another report on the matter.
No, I'd prefer to do it the other way. Consult Creever first.
Chair, you have one of the Connor, you finished?
Yep.
Sorry. Thank you.
that's okay.
Councillor Mark.
Yeah, it was just, this came up at our DEA meeting the last time as well, and I had suggested that maybe Craig Rua be consulted before it would come in front of us again, so I'm glad to hear that there was a bit of consultation took place. But like a bit like Kate, I'd like some sort of a, maybe if this comes up again at full council meeting, maybe there'll be some other news, and maybe both myself and Kate can speak with Craig Rua to get an understanding of where they're at with it, because we're not doubting anyone's word here or anything, but you know, if you understand that preliminary talks have took place and they have to be formalised out there, maybe between now and the full council meeting we can both speak with Craig Rua and use kind of your report, and we'll pick it up again with the full council. Is that fair enough?
Sure. I'm happy taking on board that we go back and talk to Craig Rua again, and only once we've talked to them and they're content with the proposal do we move on to the next stage, which is to start looking at the lease. If that makes you more comfortable with it, we'll do it that way, and if there's any issue, we'll come back to the committee on it. Is that okay?
Happy enough then?
Yeah. Item 17, information sharing protocol between the landlord registration register and Uri Moore and Down Council.
17.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, item 16. Okay, County Down Games Centre.
Okay, Chair, that's me. Members, I'm sure, will be aware that recently the press announced that the Down County Board are looking at the potential of a Centre of Excellence in Ballykinler. So this is really just a report to say officers have been in discussion with County Board members, and they do indeed have a proposal for that area, which includes what you read in the papers: size, pitches, changing facilities, gymnasium, handball courts, and so on. It would also be potentially a 1,000-seat stand, and would become the main hub for County Down GAA, which would be a big coup for the district and for this area in particular. The County Board have indicated they are very keen to work with the Council to ensure as broad as possible community access to it, so we're seeking permission from you to continue with those negotiations and discuss anything we can do to assist them. When they do come to us with firm proposals, I will of course bring them to you. At this moment, I have a meeting arranged for Wednesday morning to meet with them to discuss their proposal in more detail. So I would hope to have a more detailed report for next month. But it was really to bring it to your attention and say, it's subject to you being content, we will continue to talk to them and try and ensure that this is brought to the area.
Great report, Chair. I propose that.
Right, you've heard it proposed.
I'm happy to second that, Chair. And I know that Ballykinler's maybe not in Downpatrick DEA anymore, but used to have a strong link with Downpatrick in the old legacy council area. So it's great to see a facility like this here on the table, certainly for this area, and in Ballykinler, which is sorely lacking in community facilities, as we know, as reports have came through here before about having facilities on site. So it's only happy to see the council are in talks with the county board, and that if we can get any sort of access into those sort of facilities, it would be great for that community out there. The only issue I can foresee is, though, that we may, or we should probably, try and facilitate talks between the county board and then Transport NI to improve the road infrastructure in that area, because having five floodlit pitches, having the handball courts, gymnasium, auditorium, the traffic flow that will bring with it on the sort of infrastructure that's there at the minute in Ballykinler, I think we need to maybe try and facilitate those sort of talks as well. So if I can maybe have a thought about that as well.
Councillor Andrews.
Thanks so much, Chair. More or less, I think it's another good pivot to the scene, and I'm listening to Ballykilner. You know, I think it is good news that this has been very much been talked about, and for the community of Ballykilner, you know, since the withdrawal of the army and of the of families that have stayed in Ballykilner, the community there more or less has suffered. You know, business has not been the same, whatever. But you know, again, I'm fully supportive of the efforts being made by the county board and our officers to drive this project forward. But also, I'd like to make an additional appeal to our council. in relation to Ballykinna being a sports excellence centre, we have over 250 houses that are lying empty at Ballykinna. We have waiting lists as long as your arm. People the length and breadth of our area are screaming out for a house, a home, somewhere to bring up families, to educate their children at nearby schools and all. And we have over 250 odd houses lying empty on Ballykinna that could be put to excellent use. And in addition to the sports strategy, and maybe through our officers and the council, we could also be leading the charge along with the Northern Ireland Housing Executive in relation to securing those empty houses so that the people of our district can avail of and use. Because I'm sure councillors in this chamber have been approached by so many people, young and old, looking for a house, and because there's not enough stock available to be there for to cater for their needs, maybe Ballykilner could be the answer. So that's just my thought on the subject, but overall the papers will be welcomed, and I wish everybody well in delivering the project for Ballykilner.
Councillor Burns.
Sure, yeah, I'm very welcome of the project, and I'm glad we're going in this direction. Taking up on what the two previous speakers have said, I would nearly go further. I mean, I understand Terry's sentiments, but you may find that them 250 houses don't have a proper sewage infrastructure, don't have a proper road infrastructure, because when the army builds, they don't build the building control standards, they don't have the same regulations that we have. So it's not just as simple as turning around and parking the waiting list into Ballykilner and saying that's a wee box tick. There's a lot more to it. So with that in regard, I mean, I know we're at the very, very tentative early stages, and what Michael is asking here is just permission on an official stage that he can continue and explore conversations. And I think on the back of the conversations that he has with the county board and them creating their wish list and looking at the finances on their side and us trying to hold their hand and do whatever we can to get this, and I agree it would be a coup. I think we as a council should be also looking to the MOD to say, are you going to vacate this site entirely? If you are, what state are you going to leave this site in? And can we go ahead then and bring in some consultants if need be, but to create a master plan for the Ballykilner camp, which would in turn incorporate the likes of the Ballykilner village, because the village is quite dwarfed compared to the area of the camp. The issues being that the beach has been closed off for many years for locals who can't walk down the beach. There is unexploded materials, or certainly materials there that need to be made safe before that the areas can be opened up. You have that huge amount of house stock. We don't know what condition it's in. We don't know what's underneath the ground, what's there. And then we have this proposal for Kendall Primary School that we'd love to put a community facility in to Ballykilner, which is a forgotten little peninsula nearly of this area. And we're trying our best to rectify that. But we should be looking to see what the GAA are looking to build. I was very impressed with when Michael explained that the GAA are very open to making this as user-friendly as possible for as many people. So maybe the community side could be using it during the day when most GAA facilities won't be being used. So I think we explore the talks, we listen very carefully to what the GAA want to build, and we support them in everything they want to do. But more so, we enter into the conversations to find out about when Ballykilner will come available, what the plan will be to do with it, and is there a master plan in place, or can we put a master plan in place that incorporates all the other small issues and see if we can really make a positive out of this story. So I'd be happy to add that as an amendment if anybody would accept it.
Just on the back of all the comments, the Chief Executive and I have a meeting with the MOD early in September, where we're going to talk about exactly that. And we certainly will be pushing Transport NI in terms of road infrastructure and the MOD in terms of giving community access to the facilities down there as soon as possible. Members will be aware there's always sporting facilities, probably some of the best pitches in the district actually are down there.
So you've heard, councillors all in agreement. Item 17 now, the information sharing protocol between landlord registration register and Urien Moore Council.
Thanks, Chair. The last couple of years, since 2014, private landlords have had a responsibility to register with the Landlord Registration Scheme. In order for council officers to get access for enforcing housing legislation, we need to sign a protocol with the registrar, which will set out data protection, etc. So the decision what we're requiring is just to give approval that the protocol will be signed to the chief executive on behalf of the council.
Councillor Quinn?
Yes. I was just wondering, why is the council taking on this extra responsibility? From reading through what is required with loading stuff onto computers and keeping it safe and keeping hard copies locked in secure cabinets and desks and all the rest, is this not an extra unnecessary strain on council staff and council resources?
Thank you, Chair. Through the Chair, it's probably a strain, but I don't know if it's an unnecessary strain. It's unfortunately, I suppose, the world we live in. It's housing legislation that has always been environmental health responsibility. It's just nowadays, if we are holding any personal data, our risk assessment would require that we keep it safely, and I suppose that's just the way it is. It is more onerous, certainly, than it used to be, but I think it's just the way of the world now, and I say we have no alternative. For a lot of that information we have to find for private tenancies, this is the only way we can get it, so we don't really have an alternative, though it is certainly more onerous than things used to be. It could be several times a month. We would be dealing with up on 200-300 housing related complaints a year. So it is something we can't really do without access to.
Councillor Andrews, thanks so much, John. And again, as I say, over this past since 2014, early 2015. Councils and local authorities seem to be becoming a catch-all for everything. You know, Stormont's more than happy to orphan some of the responsibilities by kicking it downstairs to the councils. And as I touched on earlier, you know, I'd say they're kicking their work to us, but they're not giving us any additional funding or resources to do it. But I suppose we are duty bound by responsibilities that they're having to fulfil the role of in relation to landlord registration, etc. But maybe, I don't know, it's in tandem with this subject. I know we're going to be looked after keeping records, etc. But what exactly is going to be the council's role, example, in enforcement with landlords? Say, for example, landlords who don't live up to the standards of care towards their tenants or whatever. Are the council going to have any legislation, say, for example, if a landlord acted unjustly or allowed his or her property to become run down and backyards, etc., becoming nuisances to residents or whatever? Will that be a role for council in the not too distant future, that they'll be becoming responsible for policing landlords and sort of say, for example, if tenants act in a manner that causes others inconvenience and landlords fail to do anything about it, will there be a scope for councils to step in and act on behalf of tenants? It's just in relation to landlords and councils, etc. It's another avenue that are probably dragging us down, but I just thought I'd flag it up at this stage.
Terry, if you could just clarify, a lot of those things are, just to clarify on this, there's a requirement for landlords to register. The register is independent. We are just accessing it to enable us to enforce legislation, etc., that we've had in place for years. The point you mentioned about pursuing landlords for the actions of their tenants is a difficult one. It's just how much responsibility a landlord has to have. But certainly most of the things you mentioned there are things that we have the powers to do within our... It isn't anything that's been handed down from central government. Public health law or housing law, we've always had the powers to involve ourselves in those matters.
Barra. Thanks, Chair. Just following on from Terry's point there. Owen, what about the HMOs? Is it up to the council, the police, whether landlords are in proper receipt of HMOs, depending on, you know, I was looking through it today, and you know, like if there's six people in the house, there's one type of license to be paid, but if there's 10, it can run up to over £1,000. Whose responsibility is it to ensure that landlords have the appropriate HMO?
Chair, currently that's the responsibility of the housing executive, that is a transferring function. And there are discussions. It was originally going to be coming over to councils in the 1st of April 2018, but that's now been delayed for another year. Now, the model they're looking at is a three-council model. based on where have the councils have the most HMOs, which would be Belfast, Causeway Coast and Glens, Coastal Korean University, and Derry City and Strabane. So when that comes along, they will be doing that work for us on an agency basis. So currently, if our officers come across anything that will be HMO, we refer to the housing debt in Korean, which is where they cover this area from. But say it is a transferring function, and there's discussions going on with Solace, etc., and Department of Communities at the moment to ensure that there's no cost to councils in that coming across. And that's part of the reason why the licence fees are going to increase, so they're meant to cover it. So it has been postponed now for another year, so it'll stay with the housing debt until the 1st of April 2019.
So do we have a proposer? Councillor Andrews. Thank you, Councillor Brown. Item 18, food service plan.
Just the Food Standards Agency required the council every year to require Environmental Health Department every year to set out a food service plan that sets out the resources we need and the actions, the work we're going to do throughout the year. And part of that, they require that we receive council approval, so that's why it's been put forward to you today for approval.
Councillor Morat and Councillor Lachlan, all in agreement? Yep. Councillors, the last two is only for noting 19 license agreement between the Down Community and New England Down Council for the youth meeting room in the Dam Rice Hall, and 20 is European Rural Network for Job Mobility. So thank you very much.